So last week we talked about focus, right? Right. And that was my mom's favorite thing. She would tell me is to stay focused. Amen. And I asked you all a question. What shall we focus on? Was that the question, saints of God? And I gave you all some choices. Do we focus on our strengths or do we focus on our weaknesses? Do we live to strengthen and make greater what we do well, or the things that we're very weak in, do we concentrate on those things to make those better? Wasn't that the question? Amen. And we took that to the Lord. We had to know, what would Jesus do? Because that's kind of a tough one, right? And we found in John chapter 15 that the Father is the tree, and Jesus was describing himself as the branches. And he says, the Father prunes the branches and that's bringing forth fruit so they can bring forth more fruit. And we liken the branches that's bringing forth fruit as strength, right? And then he said, the branches that didn't bring forth any fruit, he would take those away or cut those off. Amen? Right. And we liken that to weaknesses. So we learn that we really focus on our strengths and we cut off our weaknesses. Amen? Amen. Is that what we do? But I was talking to one of my golfing buddies. And he was like, that's not how it's done. I said, really? I said, well, what do you think? He said, no, my style is to, you deal with that, those weak things and you want to bring those up because the things you're naturally good at, you know, you're going to be okay with that. But those weak things, it's the things you got to work on, you know, the things. And now it's like, that's why I really love God. Because opinions sound good. When he was telling me that, it was sounding good. I'm like, wow. And then God gave me this revelation. I'm about to give it to you. Since he was a golfing friend, I use golf, right? So who's the greatest golfer that we know? Tiger Woods, right? So I said, okay, golfing buddy, you know Tiger Woods, right? So what is Tiger Woods' strengths? What is he the greatest at? What is his greatest strength? Golfing. That's what, you see how he excels. He done won, 18, 19 major championships? Golfing is his strength. Amen. But what is his weakness? What is Tiger Woods' weakness? Praise God. The outside woman. That's his weakness. Tiger Woods' weakness is the outside woman. And many great men on that great level, what happens to them? What does Satan use to bring them down? The outside woman. That's what he uses. Amen? So that's his weakness. So I was telling this to my golfing buddy, because I know he liked golf. He understand golf. Amen? I said, so let's take the model. What's the model? The word of God that we learned last week and apply it to Tiger Woods. Okay? So his strength is golf, right? So if he has to keep working on his golf game to get better, right? Because these young guys coming up now, they more determined. They more committed. They want to beat Tiger. Huh? They want to beat him. And Tiger wants to win some more major championships. He wants to break those records of Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. He wants to break them records. So if he worked on his strengths, amen, focused on continuing to win them championships and getting his golf game even better, he has to focus on his strengths. Okay? But his weaknesses, we said, is the outside woman. That's what the man of God, I heard Elder Vic say that. Outside woman. Okay, let's use the model. According to the model, Jesus said, the branches that wasn't bringing forth any fruit, you cut them off. Amen. Is that what he said? So his weakness is what? So what must he do?
Cut it off.
Cut that off. Amen. He got to cut that off. Amen. And work the strengths. So now, lately, he's been coming up a few strokes short from these major championships. Still getting very close. He's just a few strokes off. He got to cut them dead branches off. He got to cut them off. Amen. See how easy it is to see. Amen. Isn't that easy to see when we apply it to something? Amen. That opinion don't sound that good anymore, does it? Praise God. If he wants to win on the level he's winning at, he must focus on his strengths. Got to cut the dead branches off. Saints of God, you know what we got to do? Focus on our strengths. And our strength is in God. Amen. I read you all the scripture last week. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 33 said, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. That's what we focus on. So you know what I'm going to tell you all? Stay focused. Amen. Stay focused, saints of God. All right, so now the table is set, right? It's time to eat. Amen. It's a privilege eating from the king's table. Isn't that a privilege? Huh? Instead of an opinion or something, I just like eating from the king's table. That way I can get it right. Amen. So today I want to talk about what many churches don't talk about. That's what people say anyway. They say churches today are not talking about sin. People say the church has gotten away from talking about sin. Amen. And I know it's important to talk about sin because we all have to deal with it. We all have to deal with sin. I don't care who we are. We are dealing with sin. Amen. The scripture said we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That's how we was born. We were born in sin, saints. Huh? What is a sin? Sin is an immoral act considered to be a transgression against the divine law. We was born to do things that we should not do. You hear me? What's iniquity? Immoral or grossly unfair behavior. We was born like that. Amen. But there's some things we were born with that we don't want to activate. Huh? We don't want to come to fruition. There's some things that's in us. Hear me, saints of God. We was born with it. It's in us. And we just don't want to activate it. See, it's in all of us. But the difference is, do we want to activate it? Make it come to fruition. Amen. That's why Jesus didn't fool with man, because he knew what was in man. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. They say these things are laying dormant in us, saints. And dependent on our lifestyle, we bring these negative things to surface. That's really what it's saying. And you know what triggers these things? Things like stress, huh? Negative thinking, drinking, drugs, smoking. All that triggers these negative things that's already in us and brings them out. Amen. But let me say this to you, saints. Even though we were born like that, and we all were born like that, that's why we have to be born again. That's why we have to be born again. Amen. Because we was born first messed up. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus, we must be born again. Nicodemus like, what are you talking about? We got to go back in the mother's womb and she got to rehab us? No. He's talking about of the Spirit of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, of the water, the word of God. So let's deal with sin today, saints, in relationship to this world that we live in today. That's what I want to do. I want to deal with sin in relationship to the world we live in today. In this world, we're going to have a lot of problems. Isn't that what the scriptures say? We're going to have problems, troubles, issues, negative character traits, all that we got to deal with in this world. Amen. That's why Sister Doris was so happy. Hey, I'm retired. 30 years, I got out. And she got me excited. I'm like, say that, could you say that again? Please just keep saying that. Encourage me. I'm going to get a turn, right, Sister Doris? Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I received that in Jesus' name. Wow. Oh, Lord. Wow. But here's the thing, saints of God. If we think we don't have to deal with these problems in this world, we're really fooling ourselves. Amen. But we don't have to be down on ourselves about it, because it's not our fault. Amen. It's not our fault. These negative things came about because of sin in the world. Not because of us. Amen. Adam allowed the sin to enter into this world. That's how it got in. Adam allowed it. Amen. But what sets us apart is how we choose to deal with the negative issues. That's what sets us apart. Some people choose to drink, use drugs, overeat, take it out on other people, listen to crazy music, lie, cheat, steal, murder. Some use illicit sex, and some trust money. All these different avenues to deal with negative situations in our lives. All those bad choices, really. They come in with an attempt to deal with negative situations in our life. Amen? Let me ask you all this. Have you all ever heard of the three N's? Anybody ever heard of the three N's? Nothing, negative, never. That's the three N's. I used to always say that. You know, I live by the three N's. Amen? Nothing, negative, never. But to walk in them three ends, you know what you're going to need? The three in ones. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. But the real truth, saints, making those bad choices compound the problem and create even more negative situations in our lives. That's what happens. It perpetuates. Amen. So how do we deal with all these issues? That's the question. How do we deal with them? One of the challenges, we can't bow down to it. Amen. Not let it rule over us. Not walk in it. Not live a lifestyle of sin. Amen. That's how we deal with it. We can't do that. See, it's the scripture that says a child of God cannot sin. And people get this one really twisted. Because it's just confusing. They say, well, I'm a child of God. And I know I can sin. I messed up yesterday. I really did some stuff I know I shouldn't have done. But I know I'm God's child. I know I am. Amen. But on the face value, that scripture sounds like if you commit any kind of sin, you're not a child of God. Because the scripture says a child of God cannot sin. Amen. But you know what it's really saying, saints? As God's children, it's saying God's children cannot live a lifestyle of sin. Amen. We can't live that lifestyle. Amen. We just can't constantly every day wake up like a murderer. He gonna go out and that's why it's not stopping. You know, because every day, that's their lifestyle. A drug addict, what does he do every day? He do drugs. That's his lifestyle. Amen. It's not like, oh, I slipped up and did that. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. No, you do that every day. That's the lifestyle. God's children can't live a lifestyle like that. Amen. So how we deal with all these negative issues, saints, that crop up in our lives and overtake us at times? How do we deal with it? And the real truth and the simple answer is Christ, is Jesus. At the end of the day, after all is said and done, Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. It's not changing. That answer is never going to change. Amen. He's the same yesterday, come on, today, and forever. Not going to change. Nothing new I can tell you about that. Amen. It's the same. Amen. the positive life that we want to live, which is love, joy, peace, and happiness, is in Christ. Amen. It's not in money. It's not in sex. It's not in drugs. It's not in food. It's not in alcohol. It's not in other people. Not in music. Not cheating, stealing, murder. That lifestyle that we want to live of love, peace, joy, and happiness is in Christ. Amen. All right, let's get into this word of God. Let's confirm that. Amen. Don't take my word for it. Huh? We're going to get Jesus on this one. All right, let's get it. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. What are we talking about today? We're talking about sin, right? That's what we're discussing. They say the church don't talk about sin. We're going to talk about some sin today. Amen. Because we need to know how to deal with it, how to defeat it. Amen. When it rears its ugly head. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, who got a program? What's the front of that program say today? No sin is worth holding on to. Amen. Okay, look at you are Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the what? And the sin which doeth so easily beset us. And let us run a race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what? It says, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. We got witnesses on both sides. Did you all know that? We see the witnesses who are in Christ. Amen. We see that. And we see the witnesses who are out of Christ and what that looks like. And it's a great cloud. Amen. Amen. We're looking at all of it. It's a great cloud of witnesses. Amen. But look at verse 2. Looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The lifestyle, saints, is to look to Jesus. It says, looking to Jesus. Amen. He created our faith. Is that what it's saying? And he fulfills it. He makes sure it happens. That's why he's the author, come on, and the finisher. He, before the world began, created our faith. Amen. Jesus created the faith that's in us. That's why the Bible says every man is given the measure of all of us, because he created it for us. Amen. And then he finishes it off so we can believe it when we say, Lord, by faith, I want this or that, or if it be thy will that this happen, we can believe that because he's going to finish it. Amen. He created it and he's going to finish it for us. Look at verse 3. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So it's saying, think about how Jesus endures sin and sinners. Huh? So you won't grow tired in your own mind. Amen. That's what he's saying. Think about that. Listen to verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. See, Jesus was sweating blood going to that cross. We ain't never did nothing like that. I'm sweating blood, Lord. This sin is, Lord, how in the world? But nevertheless, not my will. Huh? That's what Jesus said. Not my will. Let thine will be done in my life. Amen. Look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. So this is saying, when you sin and the Lord correct you, don't get mad at him. Amen. You all hear me, young men? When you do the wrong thing and you get corrected, don't be mad at the person that correct you. Amen. They want you to do the right thing. You hear me, Devin? They just correcting you because they want you to do the right thing. Amen. Don't get mad at them. Sometimes people get mad when you correct them. Amen? And that's what the scripture is saying. When God corrects you, don't get mad at them. Why? Look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, come on. He chastens. He corrects them. And scourges every son whom he received. See, he corrects us because he loves us. We are his children. Amen? So, young man, you all are getting corrected because they love you. Okay? Don't do that, Devin. Marcel, you need to do this or that. They doing that because they love you. They want you to be perfect. They want to see you succeed. Amen? And so they keep you on that right track. That's how God is. He keeps us on the right track. Huh? He loves us. He wants us to succeed. But listen to this. I'm on verse 7, saints. Amen. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So he said, when you deal with that correction, he deal with you like you a son.
That's right.
Huh? When your parents correct you, they deal with you. You deal with them like, okay, thank you. You know, this is my son because he's listening to what I'm telling him. He's listening to the correction that I give him. Amen. Y'all hear me, Cammie and Kaylon and Carlton? See, those are my sons right there. Cammie, Kaylon, and Carlton. Did you all meet them? Huh? I got to correct them every now and again. Amen. But when they listen to me, I know those are my kids. They're my children. Huh? That's what the scripture is saying. But look at verse 8. It says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards. And not sons. Huh? If you don't receive the correction, which everyone has to deal with, that's why it says we all partakers. Every one of us at some point going to have to deal with being corrected. Amen? Please get that in your spirit. All of us. Amen? But if you deal with it, then you are a child. Amen? But if you don't, you're not a child of God. You're fatherless. That's what it's saying. You're a bastard. A bastard has no father.
That's right.
Amen. God is who? Our Father. Amen. So if we don't allow him to chastise us and receive it, we don't have a father. Amen. That's what it's saying, right? Look at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Oh, that's a powerful statement. It says, of course, we want God, our Father, to correct us. Amen. We want to be in subjected to the Father of the spirits. Amen. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. Talking about our natural dad. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. See, God corrects us so we can be better and enjoy his holiness. You hear me, saints of God? He wants us to be perfect. Huh? That's why the scripture said, be ye holy, because I am holy. He wants us to be perfect. We are a product of our parents. You all do know that, right? We're a product of our parents. Amen. Look at verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. See, we don't like to be chastised. Huh? We don't like to be corrected. It don't feel good. It's not joyous for when he correct us. Don't think you're going to be all happy about it.
Right.
Amen. Oh, my mama told me to sit down, be quiet, and do da, da, da. I don't want to do that. You know, I want to play my games. Amen. So think you're going to be happy when we get corrected. Amen. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It says, but grievous. We feel grieved with that, right?
Okay.
Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So when you receive it, it's going to get you in right standing. It's going to make you right. Chastisement is going to make you right. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, It says, lift your hands up. Don't be hauled down and out because you got corrected. Lift up your hands and your feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let the wrong lame thing in your life be made right, saints. Who don't want to be healed, saints? Huh? We want to be right, don't we? I know I pray that prayer constantly. Lord, your servant want to be healthy. I want to be right. I want to be all that I could be for you. Amen. For your glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Huh? We don't want to live our life of sin. We don't want to live a life of sin, saints. We want to live a life of peace with all men and holy. Amen. Which is dedicated, consecrated to God. That's the lifestyle we want to live. Amen. Not a lifestyle of sin. Amen. Chaos. Drama. Amen. Huh? We tired of drama. Who made that song? What was her name? Mary J. No More Drama. Huh? She was tired of drama. Huh? Mary, she was married to the, wasn't she married to the pastor? Huh? I think she married a pastor. And, or a pastor's son. No, I thought he was a pastor. He wasn't no pastor. Oh, that was the pastor's son. He must didn't check his sons right. See, you're going to make me be hard on my sons now. I don't want them bringing no drama in nobody's life. Amen. When they come in their life, see, when a man of God come in your life, if he's to leave your life, guess what it should be? Better. Better. Amen. So no more drama. Everybody say that. No more drama. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We got in you to kill that drama, Lord. Amen. So what are we talking about? Sin, right? Sin and drama go together. Y'all hear me? The two go together. Sin and drama. Amen. But we talking about how to deal with sin, right? All right, let me give you this real quick. Give you this one right here before I let you go. Look, turn to 1 John chapter 1. We're talking about what, saints? Sin? Sin in our lives. We don't want that. We want to avoid that like the plague. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Young Devin. Why am I always talking to you, Devin? Huh? You want to avoid sin like the plague, Devin. You hear me? When you're in that classroom, what grade? You going to third grade? When you're in your third grade classroom, I want you to be the model student. What is that? I want you to sit there and do what they tell you to do. Get all that knowledge you can get. And don't bring no drama to the classroom. I want you to be the light. You hear me? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I receive that. I'm going to walk in that. Amen? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I heard what grandma say. She don't want to be a hearer of the word, but a doer. Don't hear it and not do it. Okay? You got to hear it and do it. Amen. All right, we're talking about sin, right? 1 John chapter 1. Everybody there? Amen. All right, look at verse 1. It said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John right there is talking about Jesus. Amen. What does he say? From the beginning, right? He heard them, right? Seen them with their own eyes, amen. Looked upon them, handled them with their hands, and he is the word of life. Oh, that's Jesus. You are the living word, amen. Oh, they're talking about Jesus. John is talking about Jesus right now. Look at verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Oh, we know he's talking about Jesus now, because Jesus was with the Father, and then he was manifested unto us. Amen? Amen? So John right here is talking about Jesus. Amen? Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That sounds like agape to me. Huh? Ministry declaring unto you what we have seen and heard. But truly, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Huh? We fellowshipping. We fellowshipping right now. Amen. But truly, you know what our fellowship is with? The Father and the Son. That's truly what our fellowship is with. Amen. Verse 4 said, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be what, saints? Ain't that what we after? Full joy. Amen. Is that what we after? We do this thing to God so your life can be full of joy, peace, and happiness. Is that what we want? Amen. That's what I want. Amen. Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. What, saints?
At all.
At all. Huh? See, I talked about negative things laying dormant in us, right? Waiting for an opportunity, right? Is that what I said? But when we walk in the light, what, darkness cannot appear. Amen. Amen. Praise God. When we walk in the light, saints, darkness, that is laying dormant in us cannot come to fruition. Amen. If we walk in the light. Because the scripture plainly says God is light and in him is no darkness. What?
At all.
They don't even want you to get like, oh, it may be a little something. No, it's no darkness in him at all. Amen. Oh, I love that. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what is that? We lie and do not the truth. Amen. Why? How can he make that bold statement? Because ain't no darkness in God at all. Amen. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What are we talking about today? Sin, right? How to deal with it, right? It said walk in the light, because he is light, and have fellowship one with another. That's how we stay out of it. Amen. Huh? Sin is drama. We don't want that. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Huh? We plead that blood of Jesus in a minute, don't we? Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Huh? This world system is full of sin. Did I say that? We can mess up occasionally. Amen. Okay, here's the punchline. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There lies our answer right there, saints. How do you deal with sin? You confess it. You don't say, I don't have no sin. That's self-righteousness. That's self-righteousness. Some people, you know, they enter the word, they read it, and they say, I ain't got no sin. Huh? I don't have that. They righteous in their self. That is self-righteousness. Amen. What do? We mess up and we confess it. I'm so sorry, Lord. Lord, I blew that one. It said when you do that, then he's faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Not just what you did. Huh? All of it. Huh? God is good. He's something else. He said, okay, let me get all that mess out of you. Huh? But you got to be honest. You got to confess it. That's how we deal with sin, saints. We confess it. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. Saints, well, how we were born in sin. Huh? We never want to say we have not sinned. We were born in it. Huh? That's called self-righteousness, saints. Our righteousness is not in ourselves. Our righteousness is in Christ. Amen. How do we deal with sin, saints? We walk in the light and we fellowship with each other. What else do? We confess our sins, and it says he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Amen. Is that how we deal with it? Oh, we're going to deal with sin today. Did we deal with that sin? Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word today, Lord, on sin, Father.